Let's begin. In the name of our loving God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God be with you. Thank you. Let's take a quiet moment. Just take a deep breath and let all the busyness in your mind be still for a moment. Be aware of God's presence here with us and God's deep love for you. Let God have whatever you're bringing with you on your heart today. Just share that with God. Let God heal you and guide you and forgive you and love you. And may our loving God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. And God, we love you. We thank you for this beautiful morning, for this time to be together in your presence and to learn from you. We ask you to fill us with your peace and your wisdom. We make this prayer in your name. Amen. Let's be seated, everyone. So our readers this morning are a couple that I just married on September 8th, Leah and David. So give them a nice welcome. They're still happily married. Isn't that great? Now we'll listen to the Word of God.
Morning. First reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard this word of the Lord. At that time, there shall arise Michael, the great guardian of your people. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress, since nations began until that time. At that time, your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be in everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly, like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. The Word of God.
Good morning. The psalm response today is, God is my inheritance. God is my inheritance. O God, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot. I set the Lord ever before me. With God at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. God is my inheritance. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. God is my inheritance. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. God is my inheritance. The second reading is a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every priest stands daily in ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But Christ offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, Christ has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin. The Word of God.
The Lord be with you. Thank you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Humanity coming in the clouds with great power and glory, sending out the angels and gathering the elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprout leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the Anointed One is near, at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the chosen one, but only God, who is creator of all. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see the changes happening around us, we often have lots of questions about our future and what is next for our human family. As the political climate becomes more explosive, wildfires tear across California with more than 1,000 missing, a death toll of 71, and the air quality worse than traditional smog hotspots in India and China, as thousands of migrants in a caravan are slowly moving north from Central America, our government planning to send 15,000 troops to slow them down and signing a proclamation setting in motion a ban on most asylum seekers, claims who cross the U.S.-Mexican border illegally. And if that wasn't enough, hate crimes on the rise, like the shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue, the two African Americans inside and outside the Kroger store in Kentucky, the shooting of 12 at the Borderline Bar and Grill, and the sending of bombs to politicians in the mail. It's enough to make you wonder, where are we headed as a generation? Amen? And sometimes, like in this gospel, it just feels like the moon and the sun have lost their shine and the stars are falling. In the gospel today, the disciples share similar concerns about what is going on in their generation. What is going on? And while we don't know what question they asked Jesus, this gospel gives us a clue. The answer that is given clues us that they are worried. They are worried about the current and future tribulation and suffering in the world. And Jesus is responding to their concern in this passage. It kind of reads a little bit like a Harry Potter novel, doesn't it? He speaks to them about a time after they've endured a particular tribulation and suffering. Says it's going to be signaled by cosmic changes in the sun and the moon and the stars, as well as powers in the heavens shaken. A time when we'll see him coming in the clouds with great power and glory, dispatching angels to gather the elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth and the end of the sky. We're all used to kind of the traditional interpretation, right, of an end time return of Jesus in this passage, one that is full of mystery, one that is full of intrigue, and one that is full of suspense. And yet, Jesus seems to steer the disciples away from focusing so much on this and tells them that the time frame of these happenings is unknown. And instead of focusing on the end, he lets them know that they should remember what he offers right now. He tells them in this passage that this generation will not pass away until these things have taken place. And heaven and earth will pass away. He says, but my words will not pass away. Now, will we get to an end time? Of course, because none of us will live forever. In fact, this week in the news, NASA scientists say that they know when our galaxy will be destroyed and that they have an animation to show how it will happen. They say that massive gravitational pull will eventually cause the Milky Way and the Andromeda galaxy to collide 4 billion years from now and become one. So while we wait, Jesus leaves us with his words to guide us through our troubles, through our sufferings, through our tribulation right now. And that's what he offers to his disciples in this gospel. A couple of weeks ago, the staff and I went to Washington, D.C. together to visit the African American Museum. We were disturbed by racism in our world, and we wanted to experience the history together, unpack it together, and come back more emboldened to work against racism. So we began with a section of Africa, pre-colonialism and invasion, a time of joy and communal life and sharing of gifts and great prosperity, and even a time of indentured servitude. As the exhibit wound around, it began to mark the systemic exploitation of the transatlantic slave trade, a time when the lives of African descendants were reduced as traded for raw materials like copper and cloth and spices and, of course, money. The transatlantic slave trade was the largest movement of people in history. Between 10 to 15 million Africans were forcibly transported across the Atlantic between 1500 and 1900. Just about every country had a share in using the slave trade to build its economies. And today, we are still benefactors of those economies today. And we struggled as a staff to just wrap our heads around the cruelty of human beings to one another. And some of our team even visited the Holocaust Museum, another time of human cruelty that just sinks your heart. It's hard to fathom. But what we understood was that during these times of great suffering and tribulation, the one sustaining factor for both groups was their faith in God. And it is often our faith that guides us through life's hardest and most challenging moments. It is these times that Jesus tells his disciples that my words will be available to you. Dr. King once said this. He said, "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." Our faith and our words and the words that Jesus gives us are words of love to live by in the darkest moments in our lives. Yesterday morning, I had the pleasure of working with one of our ministry teams, Caring Connection. And all morning, they just worked tirelessly, volunteering to help an elderly parishioner in our parish. They have spent hours in their ministry living out Jesus' words and his original instructions. They provide meals once a month for caregivers. They transport people to church, to doctor's appointments, grocery stores. They help pack up people's homes. They carry furniture. They send cards, and they offer communion to shut-ins. And they do it because of their faith and their love for Jesus and his words of instruction in their lives. But, you know, our parish is full of parishioners who do that. You are making a difference in the world by following Jesus' words of unconditional love. And the world needs that. Reverend Mary and Marcy DeJesus and I went on to the Parliament of World Religions after we left Washington, where we were deeply inspired around the power of God's words seen in many faith traditions around the world. I remember attending a session with a First Nation elder who hosted a workshop entitled Original Instructions. And so I was intrigued, and I went in there, and it was a room of about 50 to 60 people under a longhouse. And he spoke of how his tribe took care of each other because of their faith and their belief. And he said this. He said, when a couple gets married, they have to have at least 3 children. And he said, I bet you're wondering why. He said, that's because if something happens to one of the two, they have an extra. He also said that if there is someone in the tribe, a couple that gets married and they can't have children, he said the clan pulls together and each family that has more than 3 children gives them one until they have 3. No one in their clan is left to fend for themselves. He also shared that when the woman is pregnant, that they are both considered pregnant, she and her husband, and that they are not allowed to hunt for food while the woman is pregnant, because it's believed that it's important to protect the growing infant from exposure to the violence of hunting and preparing meat for food. He said, so I bet you're wondering, then how do they eat for 9 months? He said, for 9 months, the rest of the tribe hunts for them and prepares meals for them until the baby is born. These, he said, are our original instructions on how to take care of one another. And as I listened, I just felt this wave of love and kindness and care just wash over me. This is what Jesus is offering in this gospel for us and for the disciples in times of trouble. His words to guide us through. Words that remind us when it is dark that we are light. Words that remind us that we are the salt of the earth. In his words, he reminds us that it is our call to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to visit those in prison, to care for the widows and the orphans and the elders and the children. No matter what our government is doing, we have our original instructions. Amen? And Jesus gives those to us to follow during the difficult times. We encountered many more folks that were following the original instructions of their faith at the parliament. We listened to a woman from Afghanistan by the name of Sakina Yakubi, and she spoke of standing up to warlords who were taking 8-year-old girls for brides. This woman took the courage of her faith when everyone else was afraid to act. Because this warlord was powerful. He owned most of the land in the city, and the government was afraid of him. But she stepped forward, calling on him to meet with her on behalf of the mother, to return the child, pushing past her own fear. And so she told him, "You bought her for 1 bag of rice. I'll give you 10 bags of rice to return her to her mother." And as she began to talk with him, and he enters the room with 15 armed soldiers with this frail woman, he asked her a question. He says, "Why do you care?" And she said, "I care because I'm a mother. She's a child. She deserves a childhood. She needs to be on the playground playing and going to school and having a future." And she said it took several conversations with this warlord, hammering and hammering that this child needed to be returned to her mother. And eventually, she said, one day he sent the girl back to her and she was able to return her to her mother. Now, she could have sat in her despair of such tribulation and suffering in her country, but she didn't. She was emboldened by the words of her faith. And sometimes it's really easy when things get hard to want to give up, to look for a way out, to get out of it all, to not have to deal, perhaps focusing on the end times as the disciples were doing in this gospel today. But we have a God who through Jesus reminds us that we have a commitment to this generation, this time, a commitment to our children and our children's children, to walk in faith and love right where we are. And one of the wonderful things about the Parliament of World Religions was that it was people from all walks of faith coming together, living out those original instructions to love one another, contrary to what we see in the news. In fact, in the opening celebration, one of the elders began to pray and he said, "We are family from different traditions that call God by many names." And he told us how they were working out their differences, their difficulties with one another as First Nation people and the people of Canada. And they were in a truth and reconciliation process with one another over broken treaties and cruel, inhumane treatment of their past. The elder said, "It has taken us a generation, but we have taken these last 10 years to reclaim our language and to teach it again to our children who it was taken from. We are on the path of healing the breaches and the pain of our past." And so as Jesus in this gospel today answers the disciples and attends to their questions about where we go next and what to do. Perhaps this is an opportunity to hear Jesus calling on us to ask ourselves deeper questions about this present moment in time. Questions like, what in our lives needs healing and attention? Are there dark areas of darkness around us that is calling for us to bring and shine light to it? What original instructions do we need to hear from Jesus to begin that journey today? And what better time to do it than now? Because according to the scientists, we have about 4 billion years to work on it. So there's no better place to start than now.